This is Laura Quiñones from UN News. The Generation Equality Forum, which kicked off in Mexico City in March and ends this week in Paris, is a global gathering for gender equality. The World Health Organization, along with UN Women, lead the Action Coalition on Gender-Based Violence and will announce concrete commitments during the forum. To talk more about this, I have with me Dr. Princess Nothemba Simelela, better known as Dr. Nono Simelela. She's WHO's Assistant Director General and has dedicated her life to women's health. She has more than 30 years of experience as an obstetrician, academic, advocate, and government official. So welcome, Doctor. Thank you for being here with us. And I would like first to ask you, what's your and WHO's main message this year for the Generation Equality Forum? What do you expect to be achieved during the event?
Our message is around equity for women, a recognition of the contribution of women to society for the many, many generations that we can think about. And the most important thing is to continue to reinforce that women are a critical component of their societies, that investing in their well-being and their health is not seen or should not be seen as a cost to government because of the nature of women's contribution to their communities, to their families. You already get triple dividends by ensuring that the lives of women are secure, their well-being is ensured, and their livelihoods are also protected. Women have the same capabilities to be at the table. Decision makers have been shown actually to make a higher impact when they have those opportunities. So there's many, many messages that come out of the work that we do as the WHO, but at a fundamental level, it's the recognition of the importance of an equal and fair and shared approach in development for the women's agenda. It's been many decades since Beijing, and we have to ensure that governments are held constantly accountable for those promises that we made many years ago.
And regarding health, how is the pandemic affecting all these goals?
I mean, the pandemic has made it impossible for the world as a whole. The global health community will not, countries will not achieve the sustainable development goals. That has already been shown by the various calculations that are done at the UN level, the World Bank, and many of the other institutions that work with this kind of information. And we can see, you know, I'm currently deployed at a country level where we can see the impact. The costs of the pandemic have led to the breakdown of social fabric, higher rates of violence against women, especially during lockdown, with no access to the services they require, no access to sexual and reproductive health services for adolescents. So we're going to be reaping in the next year a large number of unintended pregnancies in this very, very vulnerable group, which is the adolescent group, that also in sub-Saharan Africa has a higher risk of getting HIV. So there are many issues, countries that were reviewed by WHO, where there's been up to, in some cases, 60% decline in the use of essential services. In a review that was done specifically for South Africa, it was shown that HIV services uptake was down by 40%, TB services uptake was down by 60%. Now, what that translates into is that in combination with the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, we are now going to have all the consequent non-communicable diseases as a result of not having provided the services, communicable diseases going up as a result of not providing services. So the gains that we made, even within the MDG arena, seem to have been severely undermined by this pandemic. So we have to find ways to think differently, to offer services differently. And for women, we have to move much closer to comprehensive services. We need to move to a promotion and health prevention. So prevention with using all of the technologies we have, and health promotion by empowering women with knowledge about how their body works, what they need to be seeking when they come into the health system, and how they can continue to take care of themselves outside of the health system. So these are the things that can be seen as simplistic, you know, in the backdrop of the UN system, as it were, you know, where things are very formal and all of this work that's happening with the Gender Equality Forum, very, very important. But the final analysis of what our conversations are or are about on this forum is a recognition of the role of women in society, the importance of reaffirming their right to body autonomy, bodily autonomy, to not be abused, to not be violated, to be given access to the services that they need to sustain their health and their well-being, and to actually make space at those decision-making tables for women to take their rightful role in society and to contribute in the way that they are meant to be. We cannot wait for another century to achieve equality. That is what the analysis that was done by the World Bank showed, that it will take the world a century for us to achieve women equality. And that should not be acceptable, because the world is losing a lot from not taking and using to the maximum the benefit that women bring when they are participating in activities, when they are contributing in all sectors of the economy, informal or formal. They bring added value and they need to be recognized and recompensed for that value that they bring. So that is a common message. That is the fundamental message. And that is what has driven me in my work for women's health for the last 40 years. Believe in women's ability. We have to respect that. We have to create those opportunities.
You have been working more than about 30 years. What inspires you every day to keep working towards women's health?
What inspires me every day is knowing the value that women bring. As I said, you know, growing up in a community where there's a lot of patriarchy, like in many other countries, in a community that also didn't appreciate race, you know, I'm an African woman, I can just use an example of it. So there's already many barriers for women in communities where they are stigmatized because of the color of their skin, they're stigmatized because of the fact that they are women, and then not very many opportunities. And I became aware, because I had the opportunity to study, I had the opportunity to choose, that I knew that without health, there is nothing that you can do as an individual. If you are not feeling well, you are not able to study, you are not able to work. And that is what inspired me, because I understood from a very young age that health is central to well-being. And when you're healthy and you're well, then you can work, but not the other way around. So I was never really attracted by the business sector or anything like that, because even if you are the CEO of a top company and you are a woman, on the day that you are not well, you cannot perform in that position. Therefore, even with this pandemic, we have seen that health and development are intertwined. There can be no development without health. There can be no education without health. And that is what I understood. And it was from a personal experience where I myself fell ill right at the end of my studies. And I knew that if I don't get well on time, I would not be able to write that final exam to pass to become a medical doctor. That is what changed my life in a big way. And to recognize and respect the fact that I need to uphold myself. And over the years, I've seen how we have moved from health promotion, prevention, to curative. You know, so we wait until women are ill, and then we expect them to come to the hospital. When there's a lot that people can do in their homes for themselves to stop themselves from falling ill in the first place. So I hope that one of the biggest changes that comes out of the Generation Equality Forum becomes a stronger focus on health promotion and preventive ways of ensuring people stay healthy, so that we have less need for treatment going forward. And that is possible. Within the entire chain of sustainable development goals, it's possible for us to do these things. But without health, none of those development goals will be attainable. None of them. There will be no economic growth. There will be no social development. There will not be no education. So it's very important to help. Health, very central to the policies of any developmental state.
Have you seen a change in women's participation in science, development, and distribution of treatments, vaccines, not only for COVID, but in general, for what the situation was 30 years ago from now? Have you seen more women participating actively in the health sector? Do you think we still have a long way to go?
Well, there has been shifts, there have been improvements. You know, we don't even speak about the health sector. In the health sector, huge advances in science. Example, I can just mention my colleague, Soumya, our chief scientist. She's a woman. You wouldn't have seen that many, many decades ago. And she's one of many others. More and more women studying science, technology, math, and pioneering. Women becoming pilots, things that never used to happen. Women becoming presidents, women holding positions in government, leading countries, leading major institutions, leading major economies. These are examples of women, that we see. Chancellor Merkel, Ursula von der Leyen, all of the people that you see who are leading these institutions are things that we never used to see. So there are big changes, but they are coming too slowly, considering the pace of development that we need to be achieving as individual countries and as the globe. So there are changes. Younger and younger people are engaging. Women are seen and heard, but not sufficient for us to have the impact that we can. There should be more room available at the table. Yes, indeed, there has been change. But that change needs to be increased, fast-tracked, and these are the things that we need to continue to advocate for consistently without failure. So changes, yes, pace too slow for the nature of the development that we are facing going forward.
Do you expect any important commitments to be achieved during the forum? Regarding this, accelerating our quality?
Well, we have to remain optimistic. I think it would be very sad if the Generation Equality Forum ended up in empty promises. We really need to learn from what the outcomes of Beijing, the fact that in spite of all of those commitments, many governments didn't step up to the table and have failed to do so decade after decade. So we have to ensure that we monitor the commitments that are going to be made and that we actually make sure that it's women leading to be able to really make a sustainable impact from where I sit. I think we need to be very open and frank about empty promises. We need to be pushing to an agenda that sees a woman lead the UN. We need to be pushing for such agendas to see women lead the evaluation of the pandemic response. President Ursula and Sir Liv Johnson with the former Prime Minister of Australia. These are powerful examples of women bringing what I feel is a softer but much more impactful way of confronting the challenges of the world. I feel it's really, it makes me and makes people stop when a strong woman is making a statement on an important platform about an important issue. I think people listen better and the message is conveyed in a manner only women have the ability to do. It's not something you can measure. It's something that you feel because of the nature of women and how they deal with challenges in the world. So it's still a long way off, but the current leaders that are there, that are female, that are women who are strong in their own right, has to be celebrated, and they need to be acknowledged as well. the executive directors of the important human agencies, women, NFPA, all the colleagues who are there, must be acknowledged for their leadership. Because those are not zeros, but they're leading the world, they're making their voices heard, they're making the changes and the impact that we need to see. So we welcome the presence of men at the table, but it is time to continuously push for broader, bigger, bolder women leadership in these positions. And we're getting there. So yes, indeed, there are changes, but they must happen faster. And it's a huge pity that we have had to face this pandemic. And although it is devastating, I think women will triumph, communities will triumph, because women will survive to look after their children, to look after their families, but it cannot come at a cost to them. So that is what must infuse those commitments that governments are going to make at the Generation Equality Forum. So let the commitments translate into action. Let the action translate into a better life for everybody. That is what I hope will be different this time.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nono Simelela. Thank you so much for being here with us and sharing all these important messages for women.